This is Faith Footnotes with Northwestern Publishing House, Episode 16, Christian Fiction That Shapes Faith. Welcome to Faith Footnotes, Christian Conversations with Northwestern Publishing House. You can find us online at nph.net. My name is Joshua Vick.
And I am Tanya Gerbing.
And we are your hosts for Faith Footnotes.
Like our name suggests, this is a Christian podcast that is all about practical resources for connecting with Christ in Christian living. Typically, we will feature engaging conversations with Christian authors, explore helpful answers to common questions about the Christian life, dig deep into faith-related topics, and more.
So I'm going to start today's show with a big life update. I just became a father, and it's been a pretty incredible experience, especially having someone depend on you and seeing that little face look up at you. And as a Christian parent, I couldn't help but think, how can I guide this child in faith and help her grow in Christ?
Oh, congratulations, Josh.
Thank you.
Becoming a parent really does make you think about how we pass faith to the next generation. And that connects really well with today's conversation, how Christian fiction can help bring faith to life through story.
So I have a confession here. I didn't actually grow up reading much Christian fiction or maybe not even at all. And for a while, I even intentionally tried to avoid it. I had this idea that it was maybe too Hallmark, where there was always a happy ending. Today's guest really shows that Christian fiction can go deeper, telling honest, meaningful stories that reflect faith in real life.
Rachel Covacini is an award-winning Christian fiction author whose books do exactly that, especially for young readers.
So if you've ever wondered what makes a story Christian, or how fiction can help both kids and adults grow in faith, you're going to want to stick around for this one. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Rachel, could you tell us a little about your journey as a Christian fiction author? What drew you to write faith-based stories, especially for children and young adults?
Well, I did grow up reading some Christian fiction, although my dad was an LCMS pastor, and he often told us, like, be careful what Christian fiction you read, because most of it is not going to be theologically sound, and it's easier to spot the errors in a secular book than it is sometimes in a Christian book. So we were very choosy about what we read, just from that perspective. And when I started to pursue writing myself, I did learn that the Christian fiction world in the time of like the early 2000s, when I was graduating from college and stuff like that, there were rules. There were very specific rules at places like Bethany House, the big Christian fiction publishers, for what they called the Jesus quotient. It didn't necessarily matter how great your book was, how good your writing was. You had to use the word Jesus X number of times per 1,000 words. It was very, very strict. And I've always been kind of rebellious. So I kind of rebelled against that and was like, ooh, I don't know if I want to publish with a publisher who's going to pay more attention to how many times did I say God or Jesus or faith on the page than how the story is crafted. And back then, I graduated from college in 2002, and indie publishing had not really taken off yet. That was about 8 years in the future. So I was like, well, I write, and I don't know where I'm going to get published. And if I want to write things that are faith-based, because I am a Christian, I'm not sure how I'm going to get those published. But I was like, I'm just going to keep working on this anyway, because I feel like this is a talent and a gift that God has given me, and I wanted to use it to his glory. I don't want to just write secular fiction. So I wrote my first book and to get it out of my system. And then I wrote another book and another, and I was writing mostly what might now be called like new adult books, but they were definitely adult fiction. It wasn't until I was talking to my writing mentor, who's also generally my editor, about 15 years ago probably, and she said, you know, your writing style is very direct and it's very clean and streamlined, and I feel like that would be great for young adult books. Maybe you should pursue trying to write for young adults instead of for adults. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I hadn't really considered that. Kind of started to think about it. What stories did I have in my head that could work for that audience? And out of that grew like my first young adult book, which has not been published yet, but it might be at some point. And it really felt like home. Like yes, I could write for this audience. It was also my first full-length Western, and that also felt like home. Like this, I knew that genre really well. I knew that the world building and all that kind of stuff really well. And once those two things kind of got melded together in my head, I was like, oh, I think I've found my niche. I think I want to just keep pursuing historical fiction, mostly Westerns, for young adults, because I think that's something I can really write really well for. And not everything that I write is explicitly Christian. J.R.R. Tolkien once said, I am a Christian, which can be deduced from my stories. And I think that's true for me as well. There are some things that I've written that have not necessarily been explicitly Christian fiction, but because Christianity is such a part of every aspect of your life, right? It's not just something that you do on Sunday. It's something you live out. And that's just going to come out in your fiction or in your, you know, whatever your vocation is, that's going to be reflected there. Even when not all of my books are explicitly saying, we go to church, we pray to God, we believe in Jesus, they're still going to kind of reflect that Christian worldview, because that's part of who I am. And that's important to me and going to come through in my writing.
Your website says your books are fun and engaging and meant for the whole family. How do you balance entertainment and storytelling and biblical truth in your fiction, or maybe even your approach to writing those stories?
I feel that if a story isn't fun and entertaining, it's not a story, right? It's a sermon or a homily or a morality lesson or of some kind. The point of writing fiction is that it will be enjoyable and it will be engaging and entertaining, and that you can convey a lot of lessons or truth in a fun and engaging way, and that will sink into people's minds maybe better than hearing somebody give a little TED talk on the importance of accepting your surroundings or the importance of trusting that God will make this work out for you in the end. And if you just give a little talk, well, maybe some people remember it. If you write it as a story, it sticks with people a little bit better. And I will say that my funniest book so far is Dancing in Donuts. And it's humorous, it's playful, it's also a mystery. And that is the book that I have had the most like reviews and comments talking about the moral lessons that are in that book, because the fact that it's funny and it's engaging and it's, you know, exciting somehow makes it easier maybe to digest or take in the lessons that are being taught throughout the course of the story. I also think there's a quotation that is attributed to Martin Luther, although like Abraham Lincoln, a lot of things get attributed to him that he didn't necessarily say. But there's a quotation that is supposed to be from him that says, if you want to change the world, pick up your pen and write. And for me, that has been really important to my writing, because I do want to change the world around me. I want to, you know, provide more clean, wholesome, godly stories for teenagers and families to have to read. And how do you change the face of publishing? Well, you publish something that's different.
Can you give an example from one of your stories where Christianity or a character's spiritual dilemma comes through and how that might connect to a reader's own faith journey?
That's the great thing about fiction, is I do that with everything. In My Rock and My Refuge, for example, Marta, the main character, learns to pray first before she acts, that she is a go-getter and she is a problem solver and she always wants to jump into a situation and solve it. And then if it doesn't work the way she expects, then she prays. And she learns she's doing that backwards, that she needs to pray first and then move forward in confidence that God is going to make this work out. That's a lesson I needed to learn at that time myself. I actually bought myself an engraved ring that says pray first after I wrote that book, because that was so important as something that I needed to be learning myself. But in my other books too, like Man on the Buckskin Horse, Emma Thornberry learns like God always answers our prayers, but not always how we expect. And we might expect or hope that he's going to answer them in one way. He answers them somehow differently, and it's going to be better. In Cloaked, Mary Rose learns that she needs to trust like her God-given instincts and the people he's put in her life. She needs to trust them and not just try to take care of things like all by herself. Just the spiritual dilemmas are always tied up in what their character arc is and what the climax of the book is.
So I mentioned in the beginning that I thought Christian fiction was kind of like a Hallmark movie where it's, you know, kind of a fairy tale, happy ending. Sometimes I hear people say Christian fiction is just you know, entertainment, and there's really not a lot of Christian depth involved. How can Christian fiction be a practical tool for growing in faith?
I think the importance of fiction is that we can never have every experience in the world, right? There's so many things we will never experience. The book I'm writing right now is about a Civil War veteran who had his leg amputated. And I'm too old now for military service, so I'm never going to be a military veteran. Lord willing, I'll never have a leg amputated, right? I don't know what those are like. I can lean on talking with people who have had those experiences. But then my readers also, they may not ever have those experiences, but they can learn from them, vicariously experiencing them. That's a really safe and important way to grow and change your perspective on things as a Christian, just seeing how, you know, how would I react? How does this character's faith influence how they react? How would I react in that situation? Would my faith, you know, what would I would have done differently, or would my faith have affected me differently? And that really is the beauty of fiction, is that we can learn more about different situations and different parts of the world and different people and take that in and help that grow us as people, instead of, you know, having to either always be in the same narrow mindset of where we are and what we're doing, or having to try to go out and experience all the things. And then that's not always the best plan either.
When writing for younger readers or families, how do you address themes like sin, grace, redemption, and faith in a way that's meaningful and relatable?
I remember my own youth very vividly. I have a lot of memory of what it's like to be a kid, what it's like to be a teenager, the kinds of struggles that are particular to that, the kinds of joys that are particular to those parts of your life. And I always try to keep in mind that kids aren't dumb and adults aren't smart, that you can put as much depth and as much deep theological truth into a book that's for kids or for teens or for young adults as you can for one that's for adults. I think it's C.S. Lewis who said, if a book is too difficult for adults, you must write it for children. And that, I think, is really important as I write, to say, oh, you know, the topics of sin and grace, the fall from redemption, the working toward redemption, repentance, forgiveness, all these things are just as important when you're 7 or 17 as when you're, you know, 50. And so I don't try to shy away from difficult things, like somebody does something sinful. In my book, One Bad Apple, the main character is blinded by the beauty of the villainess, and he thinks she's the most amazing, wonderful person, obviously, because she's so beautiful. And he makes a lot of mistakes because he is deliberately refusing to see that she is evil. And then he has to try to, you know, make up for the fact that he's made these mistakes. And that can happen to an adult, that can happen to a kid. You know, it's you might address it in a slightly gentler way, or a 14-year-old is not going to get into the same kind of a situation that a 24-year-old might in that kind of circumstance. But that doesn't mean it's not just as serious. And I really just try to keep that in mind, that kids aren't dumb, adults aren't smart. We're all people. In God's eyes, we're all children. We're all capable of understanding deeper things. And we don't have to just write cute little stories for kids, because they can grasp deep stuff.
For parents, teachers, or maybe even youth leaders, how does Christian fiction serve as a conversation starter, or even a resource for discipleship and teaching scripture?
Fiction offers two valuable tools for living our faith and talking about our faith. It offers us distance. You know, the story we're reading about isn't actually happening to me. I'm not actually a veteran. I don't actually, you know, have only one working leg anymore. But then it also gives us practice. If this sort of thing did happen to me, what would I do? If I can think back to when I was a little kid, there would be times when I'd be like, oh, I have this problem, but I saw on Mr. Rogers that Daniel Striped Tiger solved the same problem of his best friend wouldn't talk to him. This is how he solved it. He just kept going and talking to her, and then she did talk to him. I'll try that. And that's a hugely important thing about fiction, is it just lets us have practice with tough things, with normal things, with everyday stuff, with just having in our heads, how would I do that? How would I, you know, what can I remember somebody else did? Could I try that too? And same goes for in our Christian walk. You might say, oh, well, I've also been tempted to resent someone because they had more outward blessings than me. So I remember a story where that really hurt a character, that they just let that resentment build and build. Maybe I won't do that. And it also, you know, like you said, for parents and teachers or youth leaders, It gives you a good way to talk about issues without talking about, here's what you did wrong. So you can talk with a child or a grandchild or someone in your church about, oh, do you remember in Little Women, there was the terrible time when Amy was so upset with Joe that she burned her book. Let's talk about the consequences of that and how, you know, without having to say, hey, remember that time that you broke your brother's favorite toy train because you were mad at him? So you can provide a little bit of a cushion of distance that way, which allows you to talk through things and keeps the person you're talking to listening and engaged and not feeling like, oh, this is aimed at me. Oh, I did a bad thing. And that keeps them listening. So I think fiction can be really, really useful that way for helping us see things from different perspectives, whether they're in our lives or somebody else's.
How does that influence your approach? Do you think about what could be discussed, or does that just kind of happen organically in your writing?
I think it happens organically. I do have 3 teens, and I know they will read my books repeatedly because part of my editing process is I will read the whole book out loud to catch typos, mistakes, glitches, bad writing, whatever, places where I use the same word 7 times in a paragraph. And they usually want to listen to that when I'm reading it out loud. So I know they'll hear it when it's in a not completed form. And then they also are, all 3 of them, very good proofreaders. So I lean on them to be part of my proofreading team because they will catch things that adults and professionals will not always find, which is pretty amazing. I have in mind, like, I know my 3 ideal readers are going to read this, and maybe sometimes something might creep in that maybe they're working with. When I wrote One Bad Apple, which has a 14-year-old boy as the protagonist, my son was 14. The issues, some of the friction between cousins and siblings in that, you know, I'm not saying I drew anything directly, but just you can see the kinds of things 14-year-olds are dealing with in my house and then go, okay, this is realistic, or this is something that needs to be addressed for young people or whatever. Yeah. So I don't necessarily sit down and think, oh, how could I use this to teach someone a good scriptural lesson? But it's just naturally going to be part of the book anyway.
How do your own devotions or scripture reading influence your writing? Are there any passages that inspire entire storylines or characters?
I will say that there have been times with every book, actually, where I'll be in church listening to the scripture readings at the beginning of the service and go, oh, that's important to such and such character's like story arc or something. And I will have to quick grab a pen and like draw an arrow in my bulletin and write a character name beside it so that I remember when I get home, like, yes, this is something that I need to include, or something that is really addresses some part of a book. And that has happened with every book, either in church or sometimes during a sermon, or also we do family devotions every night, or my own private Bible reading. There will be things that leap out to me and say, oh, this is so applicable to such and such character's struggle or strengths or whatever it is. So I definitely see character arc patterns or character things emerge when I'm doing that. When I'm writing a book, I almost always don't actually figure out what the moral of the story is going to be until I have finished the first draft. Like, I will have it in my head, oh, this is the lesson of the story. But by when I finish the first draft and I read it over again, I'll be like, oh no, I was so wrong. That's not the moral of the story. This is actually what is at the core here. And I think it's because I'm not a plotter or a pantser. I am kind of a planter. So I have a vague idea of how the story is going to go and some things that are going to happen along the way. But a lot of it is a journey of discovery as I write the first draft. And so it's not really till I get to the end that I can see the main character's like overall character arc. And the moral of the story is almost always, for good books, tied up with what does the main character learn over the course of the story? What is their growth journey? That's going to be the moral of your story. And it's not until I have seen how that growth journey actually plays out on the page that I can be like, oh, here's the lesson they're learning. This is the core of the book, which is not how everybody writes, but that's how it works for me.
As you write and thinking about, sometimes Christian fiction gets criticized about not having enough Christian elements, or in the case of your father, you know, maybe it's not as accurate. And then you talked about the publishing house. You have to mention Jesus so many times in your story to make it Christian fiction. How do you respond to that? And how do you make sure your stories stay rooted in scripture?
On a day-to-day basis, I do pray before I sit down to write and just say, Lord, bless this, let this glorify you, however that's going to work out today. But most of the time, to people who are like, well, you could just read the Bible, you'll learn more from that, I will say, okay, but how did Jesus teach us? He taught us with stories. He taught us with parables that are, you know, earthly stories. Do they have a heavenly meaning? Yes, but they are fiction. He taught us with fiction because we are hardwired to love stories and to learn really well with them. So, of course, you can learn biblical truths from fiction as well. And stories are how we process the world, right? You come home and your, you know, kids say, how was your day, Mom? And you say, well, this happened and this person said this and then this thing happened. And then on the way home, I saw this, right? You tell them the story and you ask them how their day was and they tell you the story. And that's how we process the world. So using stories to process Christian truths, whether it's deep or surfacey or whatever, it's going to be a good way for us to take them in. And for some people, fiction is not their thing. My dad read voraciously. By the time he died, he had 5,000 books, but they were almost all nonfiction because he did not enjoy reading fiction books. He loved to watch movies and TV shows. He loved that, but fiction in books was not how he liked to process things. He preferred nonfiction. It's not, you know, it's not going to be everybody's thing. Nobody loves everything. Nothing is loved by everybody. But for those who do learn really well that way, it can be very beneficial. And just how do I make my stories, like you said, like how do I make sure they're rooted in scripture? Especially in the revision process, I go through and just make sure the characters in my books are Christians and make sure that they are thinking about how do I live my life in a godly way? How do I do that? I often get the compliment that they're not preachy. And I think that's because I'm not writing books trying to convert people. My books are Christian fiction because they're fiction for Christians to read and written by a Christian. I don't think I've ever written a big conversion scene, but the characters go to church. The characters live their lives. They talk about God. They pray. They read their Bible. And that being an integral part of their lives, of course, the whole story is then going to have scripture and faith all throughout it because it's such a part of their life.
So what advice would you give someone new to Christian fiction who wants to use it as a faith-building resource for themselves or children?
Be careful what you read, like with everything else. Like, you are going to run into Christian fiction that is not very theologically sound. You're going to run into a lot of Christian fiction that is totally innocuous. So that is not going to have something where you're like, whoa, I do not think the Bible says that. Where did that come from? But you do have to be discerning, just like with everything else. Anybody who wants to use Christian fiction as like a faith-building resource, as a way to talk about faith for themselves or for their kids, like talking is a key. Talk about stories together. If you want your kids to be really thinking through the things that they read, then talk about them as a family. Maybe read the same book that your kids are reading and say, hey, let's discuss this. Just like you might sit down and watch a movie together and then talk about, oh, you know, when this character, you know, jumped in front of the other one and saved their life and died, then that really resonates with us because it reminds us of Jesus dying for our sins. You know, you can do that with books too. And you can have great discussions and with your kids. If you're like, I don't know what to talk about, there are reader guides online for discussion questions, all kinds of stuff like that, that can really help you just discuss how would Jesus have told this story instead? Or how would this story have been different if the character had been a Christian? Or if it is Christian fiction, how would the story have been different if the main character wasn't a Christian? And that can really help kids in particular just to see how fiction and faith can intersect and build on each other.
That's really interesting. I've never really thought about pursuing Christian fiction that way, but that's really neat. I like that.
Thanks.
So let's say there is a young person out there, picks up a Rachel Kovacini book. How do you hope that book helps that reader live out his or her faith practically in daily life?
Well, I would hope that book would just give them people they can relate to, because sometimes, especially in today's culture, it can feel very lonely to be a Christian. And especially for young people, they see everywhere Christianity is either mocked or poo-pooed or openly combated. And that can feel very lonely. And so one of the things that Christian fiction in particular can do is it can help you realize you're not the only Christian. You're not the only person struggling with these things. You're not the only person turning to God for help. Like I said, my books are about Christian people going about their daily lives, just fulfilling their God-given vocational roles in life. And that can be really reassuring when you're, let's say you're a young mom and you have a new baby, like your wife and you. And then you're like, oh, this is really hard, but this is really rewarding. I'm so conflicted. I'm so tired of waking up 17 times a night. But I also love, and then to read a book about someone who's going through something similar to that and struggling with it too, it makes you feel much less alone. It makes you realize I'm not the only person who has this problem. And like, as you know, you can learn from how do they deal with it? Do they use the time when they wake up with the baby to pray? Do they use it? You know, how can you respond to that based on things that you have seen? But, going kind of back to that idea of fiction being a way that we can practice things, I really hope that readers, like if they encounter a problem in their life that's similar to something in one of my books, that they might have a memory of a godly response, even though it was fictional, to something. And how should they respond? In my book Cloaked, for instance, the main character is kind of stalked by this older guy. And how should she have responded? She should say to her grandmother and her adults in her life, hey, this guy is creeping me out. But she doesn't trust her instinct because he's an important person and she thinks this should be fine. I might just be imagining these things. And if you get into a situation like that as a teen where you're like, this person seems suspicious or they're creepy or whatever, would hope that they would remember, oh, you remember that time when Mary Rose did finally tell her grandmother, like, this is a problem, and how that really helped. Just drawing on things you may remember and how they can be really used in your own life. That's what I would hope that they would take away.
Well, thank you very much for this conversation, Rachel. This was great. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You can find the show notes and links to Rachel's books at blog.nph.net. And be sure to follow our show on your preferred podcast platform. We hope you join us next month for another great conversation.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Faith Footnotes from Northwestern Publishing House. Keep the conversation going by visiting nph.net.